So then we move to the next item, which is report by regional board members. So.
Do we have to note on the record that I've arrived because I missed the roll call?
Yes, let's do that. Thank you for bringing that up, Monica. So for the record, Dr. Hunter is present, arrived just shy of 5 minutes after we started, which we started at 9:05. Thank you. So I will start on my right if we have updates.
I haven't got much to report this meeting. I was sad to miss the Water Quality Coordinating Committee meeting in Sacramento. It's the first one I've missed. I did on the 15th of November complete my state training in harassment and discrimination. I just think it's worthy of note because members of the public may not know it, but everybody working for the state who's in a supervisorial or management position, including us board members, are required to periodically complete trainings regarding harassment and discrimination. Pretty timely right now. So that was interesting. That's all I've got.
Thank you. Ms. Gray?
So I also attended my training on Tuesday. It was a webinar. On the 15th of November, I attended an environmental justice summit in Sacramento. Essentially, it was a number of staff members, state board, and folks from the environmental justice community. And the dialogue revolved around environmental justice issues at the state level and how that intersects with what's happening at the regional boards. And a lot of the issues that we're dealing with are much larger than we can handle at the regional board level or oftentimes at the state level. We tackled issues such as homelessness, which touch on a lot of different social issues. Access to water through SGMA, which is obviously not sitting right now in the state water board's control other than probationary areas. So I'm going to keep it kind of high level, but there's obviously a continued dialogue and need to include environmental justice issues, disadvantaged communities in all of what we consider at the regional board level, from access to water quality, to integration into the SGMA process, as well as integrated regional water management planning. And then on the 30th of November, I provided a stormwater presentation to the association, the Association of Civil Engineers, just to give them a sort of an update on the stormwater permits and what they could expect. And I would presume that everyone is happy and going to be permitting, giving us wonderful, solid stormwater permits. So that's all I have to report.
Thank you. Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. Normally, I give the environmental justice update to the board as the board liaison. And so I want to thank Jane for stepping up to attend the environmental justice summit. I was unable to attend. But I think, as part of our effort to keep our board members up to date on different aspects of environmental justice issues that we are trying to address in our region, very important for different board members to get involved and directly experience and meet organizational folks and agency folks that have resources and programmatic priorities that address the needs of disadvantaged communities. I want to acknowledge that Angela Schroeder was part of the panel of presenters at the State Water Board, and also our relationship and support from Gita Kapahi and her team that have, I think, developed quite a very broad-based ability to convey what's happening with disadvantaged communities, but also recognize the unique needs of the regions. We have worked with Gita in various ways, and she's been very supportive and essential to our efforts. So you know, progress obviously reflected in this summit. I think just locally for our region, just two things to mention. The San Gerardo community, which we have, I think reflects almost as a poster of communities that are faced with water issues, water challenges, primarily the ability to maintain their own small water system. They've gone through a prolonged process, and I want to acknowledge our region has sustained a role in continuing a dialogue, assuring that communication and that people, key people, are aware and giving San Gerardo every possibility for a good outcome. It's not the outcome we're hoping for. At this point, we're hearing the limitations and constraints of a small community to maintain their own water system. These are the challenges that face disadvantaged communities everywhere. So San Gerardo is a bit ahead of the curve, and I hope the State Water Board is also, I think with our staff's ability to keep that communication going, that the State Water Board is looking at that situation as a typical set of issues and challenges and a pattern of the way bureaucracy can and cannot meet the needs of small communities, especially where the cost of water and systems and the technical challenges. So I think that's something that we've been tracking, and we will continue to work with our communities. We have others in our region, but I won't go into them today. But I do want to thank the State Water Board for their leadership, and I think we are encouraged by that, and we have followed suit by our own resolution to safe drinking water. And I think we will have, I'm looking forward to 2018. We have a number of efforts underway that are going to help extend and expand the work that we do from the north, which has been our focus, into the southern part of the region. So I look forward to that coming to fruition in 2018.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter, for your report. Mr. Young.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf. So, you know, I've never mentioned this before, but because it's not directly related to water board functions, but I've been going to the State Bar's Environmental Law Section annual conference, which takes place the last few years. It's been in Yosemite. And although I don't practice environmental law, I still go because I'm so connected to it in many other ways and find it just so interesting. And these conferences are wonderful opportunities to hear presentations on what's going on with CEQA, with air, land regulation, and water also. And this particular conference that took place in October, one of the panels was made up of a presentation for the 50th anniversary, I think, of Porter Cologne. And so Michael Laufer was the chair of that panel, and Felicia Marcus was on the panel along with Justice Roby. Is it Roby, who is the author of Porter Cologne? And so we got to hear. He's a justice on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeal.
And I think it's the third DCA.
Third DCA. And so he talked about how Porter Cologne came to be and how he, I think he said he was a staff person at the time, a legislative support person for a particular legislator. And he had written up an outline for what Porter Cologne should look like, is like a memo, internal memo. And at some point, it got like bootstrapped up into this legislation, and he talked about how his supervisor, whoever the legislator was, I mean, it could have been Porter or Cologne, maybe it was Porter, had some, he was a fairly conservative person who had some concerns about, you know, what the ramifications of this would be, and it obviously passed and went through and, you know, became law, but to hear him describe its genesis and evolution and where we're at today with all of the competing interests that we deal with, and his insight and opinions on how we should be addressing things is really interesting, you know, for someone who's been at this from the beginning to now as a justice, and what, you know, thoughts he has on that. So anyway, that was illuminating. Also listened to another presentation. This is was put on by attorneys for the most part and consultants representing dischargers. And they had done a presentation on looking at the value of contaminated groundwater and the constraints in using contaminated groundwater as a resource. So although most of the things I hear are not new to me, because I hear them from you guys in one shape or another, hearing them presented like with some different filters on is always kind of illuminating, because then you get an idea of really how complex this is and how it's being seen and interpreted and digested by members of the regulated community. Separate from that, in November 14th, I met with Perry Clausen, and he came to my office, and he had told me that he intends to meet with as many of the of my colleagues as you guys as possible, and that he acknowledged that the San Joaquin order has now been passed, and we didn't really talk much about that other than he said, okay, now it's going to get implemented, and we want to get, you're about to push something.
Just a clarification.
Okay.
The Eastern San Joaquin order, the draft is out, but it has not been passed by the
okay.
State board.
Okay, all right, so the draft is out. And but at some point it's going to get implemented once it's finalized. And he was suggesting to me that, you know, from his view, the best way to do implementation of what's going to be our 4.0 would be if we had more or less a single coalition that, you know, really combined the efforts of both the surface water efforts and then the groundwater efforts, that there would be a savings in, you know, costs and effort. And so he kind of, you know, positioned that to me as something for consideration. He also, though, had acknowledged that you know, there may be some things that the board needs to do with looking at maybe some of the constraints that have been built into some of the our first coalition with Preservation Inc. That you know, we might want to be taking a look at that and seeing how at this juncture things could be opened up and modified to make things work more harmoniously going forward. So he did mention chrononymous testing, but I'm not quite sure what his point was with it, other than I guess there some people aren't too pleased with it. I guess, is it in the draft order, the draft San Joaquin order? Or is that something, no, we did that in a prior, in our 3.0.
So the draft Eastern San Joaquin order says that for coalitions, they will provide the regional board with anonymous reporting of all.
No, I meant the bioassay, the biological testing invertebrate. It's with us, it's with 3.0. It's chrononymous, right? Am I pronouncing it properly? Yeah, chrononymous. Chrononymous. So anyway, so that was, so he had mentioned something to me and I didn't really get into it with them, but I guess some people are not too thrilled with having chrononymous testing in 3.0. So, you know, I just listen, basically. I rarely like to get into a deep discussion about any of this because without having staff there, I don't really know what all the bits and pieces are and how they interact with each other. So that's my report.
Thank you. Mayor Delgado.
Thank you. Thank you. Like others that went to the Water Quality Coordinating Committee, the WQCC, I enjoyed it, and I found especially educational the panel on the effects, various kinds of effects, the science behind the climate change effects. It was one of the best panels I've ever witnessed, where you had about seven panelists and you think, oh, this is gonna take a long time. And every one of them were riveting and succinct and kind of like listening to seven Karens on one panel. And it was just great. And there was a good panel that I didn't expect on the Santa Rosa fire, and from various perspectives of the people who are living in the area and responding to the incidents, the various fires there, it was timely and that was surprisingly a good piece of the WQC that I didn't expect. Also, I thought it was nice that the people attending were gracious enough to start to move that event toward a zero waste event, because I think that this body is as educated as we're going to get about the need to conserve water, and if in our personal lives and our professional lives we're not doing it, then how can we expect, you know, the general public to do it? So I appreciated that, and I hope that we can do more there. Sort of related to this, but also in my other part of my life, I've read the legislation of Sigma a couple times recently, and I've seen some presentations here regarding Sigma, and there's been some discussion at a couple of WQCCs, but that's as a board representative, and as a representative of a Central Coast city, I'm sort of grinding my teeth on what Sigma looks like from that perspective. And there's a desal proposal in my backyard neighborhood, and there are some concerns about that, so I authored a op-ed piece in the San Francisco Chronicle that was published this week, called A Test of California's Commitment to Groundwater Sustainability, sort of how does Sigma filter down to the ground level when there's a proposal that will have some interaction with groundwater in a critically overdrafted basin. And I appreciate the help that Jessica Jarr has provided me in sort of understanding how, as a board member here, and and John Robertson helped too, as a representative of a jurisdiction, how do you navigate the meeting with potentially state board members and elected officials and appointed officials throughout the state on an issue that relates both to the regional board, Sigma, and something more local if you have a different role. And so I just want to report out on that I'm learning about Sigma, and it's interesting to see it from different perspectives. That's all.
Thank you, Mayor Delgado. And before moving on to your little updates on my activities, I want to acknowledge the fact that the governor has reappointed Mayor Delgado and Mr. Young for another cycle to our board. So we're looking forward to having your contribution again for the next 4 years. So thank you. I think that was an excellent decision. And you know, you're still subject to Senate confirmation, but I'm sure that'll be a breeze. So on 9/29, I hosted a pump efficiency demonstration for a Cal Poly program, and increasingly, a state board, as part of climate change, we're looking at the nexus between water efficiency, water use, and energy efficiency because of the impact of electricity that it has on pumping. So I developed a pretty simple methodology where if you just use a well sounder, which is a pretty simple device, and you use a smart meter, and most of irrigated pumps do have a smart meter connected, and if you learn how to read the meter, you can actually calculate pretty easily pump efficiency, and then you can improve your pumping use. And this particular technique is going to be embedded in the next round of sustainability certification program for vineyards, because it basically can be done with very little training. I also gave a class at Cal Poly as part of the environmental law program on a 360 of the various regulations that farmers have to follow. You know, as Regional Water Board, we're not the only agency. You have Department of Pest Regulations, you have CDFA, you have USDA, you have the Air Pollution Control District, and the list goes on. So this was kind of 360 review of the various constraints, opportunities, ranging from the Williamson Act to the Right to Farm Act, et cetera. So it's always very enjoyable to, you know, see the next generation of young adults. You know, they're like sponge. They take it all in, so I always find that very stimulating. And then during the week of the Water Quality Coordinating Committee in Sacramento, there was a delegation of the European Union, which is headquartered in Brussels, and the Parliament was visiting California and visiting our various Sacramento-based regulatory agencies, because Europe looks at California as being a pretty progressive state in terms of environmental considerations and activities and actions associated with climate change. So I was asked to give a presentation on behalf of the Water Board, on the State Board, that is, on the California waterscape. And what we found very mutually very interesting is that we share the same challenges. We talked about groundwater nitrate contamination, box got checked, yes, big issue in Europe. Looking at issues associated with water treatment facilities and the constant chase of a new emergency chemical of concerns, you know, ranging from issues associated with microfibers, checked ahead at issue, the microbeads in beauty products and soap, they say, oh, yeah, we actually have that challenge. And what was very interesting is their increased use of bioassay to identify constituents in water quality. And one of them that they presented was the development of a worm that was developed by a French company, where the worm changed color based on the hormone content in water. And they're actually using that technology at their water treatment plants in order to use it as a tracer. So I have the information. That was a nice, you know, information exchange, and this is something I'm gonna be forwarding to our staff and also at State Board level. As perhaps another tool in the toolbox. Then Mr. Robertson and myself on the 24th met with Ms. Karen Ross and Jenny Moffitt of the CDFA in Sacramento, updating each other from our aspect is the progress with the implementation of 3.0 and the updates on our timetable associated with 4.0, and then likewise exchange of information on what CDFA is currently doing in areas of nutrient management, et cetera, where we can collaborate and exchange information. And then same day, Mr. Robertson and myself met with Mr. Gordon Byrne of EPA, Cal EPA, to also update on our various activities. On the 25th, I attended the Water Quality Coordinated Committee, and on the same day, Mr. Robertson and myself gave a presentation on behalf of our region on how we leverage technology in our water board activities. This ties a little bit with Karen's work and also the ability on online to access information and make it more of a web-based information and a paperless type of approach of agency. Each of the regions, most of the regions gave presentation on how to leverage technology and, you know, basically working smarter and not necessarily, you know, putting more hours in the day. And then lastly, Ms. Jenny Moffat of CDFA, Undersecretary of CDFA, and myself gave a presentation on carbon sequestration and part of the Healthy Soil Initiatives, and there is a very significant nexus of carbon content in soil with three primary reasons. Firstly, by sequestering carbon, we help address the CO2 emission and reduce the impact to the ozone layer. Number two, carbon-rich soil tend to improve the efficiency of fertilizer, particularly with nitrogen, and reduce the leakage effect of nitrogen in the groundwater when you have carbon-rich soil. So that's another big benefit. And then the other one is associated to improving infiltration and improving, therefore, efficiencies of irrigation in the shallow soil profile. And then lastly, last month, I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee of San Luis Obispo County. I try to attend those meetings once a month. So that's my report.